All right, we're live here in person.
Whoa.
I know. This is crazy. Matt Chat, episode 2. I'm here with Jacob Derwin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really, really good. I'm so excited to talk about this episode with you.
I'm excited. Hey, man, this is my first time talking about Survivor in a second. So I'm letting you take the lead. I'm here to support you.
I'm excited because not only do we have Jacob Derwin in my eyes an icon, but also on another reality TV show,
The Great Floor.
How is it to see yourself back on television after
it's
what like
great.
8 years?
8 years, yeah. It's good, man. It's nice. It's somebody posted a video, like a clip of Ghost Island the other day that I saw, and I'm 22 and like sunburnt and I'm just looking at it, I'm like, okay, I've had a little bit of a glow up. I look a little better than that. So it's nice. It's nice seeing the clips of the floor and being like, okay, I'm a little more confident in how that guy looks. That's
absolutely
good.
I feel 22 is a rough age to kind of be on national TV.
Freshly. Yeah. I was like, my birthday was like 2 days before filming. Ooh. So I was like, I was a naive little baby.
Yeah. And you were a pretty big Survivor fan before that, right?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest. Yeah. Hardcore. I was a blogger. I was following all the communities and the podcasts and everything. Super hardcore. And I think I when I got there, it was this like, reach out and touch it. Like, what do you mean? So it almost didn't feel real. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Jeff Probst.
Yeah. That guy. Yeah, wow, there's a lot of cameras. You know what I mean? Like, it's really interesting how it hits you.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, you are kind of on the cusp of new. You're not like new era, obviously. New era is 41, but you're still pretty later on in the new school.
Well,
how do you feel like watching it? You know, in this kind of crazy new, you know, shorter game, all of that stuff. Like, how do you like it?
It's interesting. So full disclosure, I've been a little disconnected from it for a little bit. I haven't watched it in a couple of years. It's funny. I mean, I guess technically we're not old school yet, the 30s, but like I kind of feel old school at this point. Like I watching the new game, like this was my I just watched the episode. First time hearing about a Beware advantage.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean there's like you can be in what do you mean you have to drag around a loud metal chain with you to find an like it's a little bizarre at times, for sure. I'm adjusting to it. I think, you know, the game evolves because of the people and how they play and the means of production change. And clearly they like people playing the hard and fast way they've been playing. So,
yeah. Well, let's talk about the Beware advantage because, you know, I feel like when obviously you looked for an idol out on the island.
Yep.
This Beware advantage, you really do have to kind of bring people in.
Yeah.
Like this iteration, the Beware advantage, we've seen it many times. There was, you know, 41, 42, you kind of had to almost announce you had it on a platform before challenges because you had to say a phrase.
Yeah.
Then there was one where you had to figure out a puzzle. Then there was one where she had to like break paint and like paint, red paint kind of exploded all over her. And so she literally was like caught red-handed.
That's messed up.
So these they're trying to make it so they can't keep it secret.
Yeah.
How do you feel like that really will impact people's games in the long run? Because Alex literally had to tell every single person on his tribe.
Yeah, and then that tribal still pretends like he doesn't have it, which I'm very confused by.
Me too.
I'm like, who doesn't know? Wait, did I miss something? Is there a secret other person that I'm unaware of? Was he trying to signal to Annie or something, maybe, that she should be
that whole
saved?
Thing, I made a video on that because I was, like, so confused.
Yeah.
I think it was because I've come to the conclusion that he, number one, didn't want to tell the other three people that he told Annie, but number two, didn't want Annie to play her shot in the dark. And so by saying, I don't know, it's keeping Annie in the dark.
I'm still unclear about what a shot in the dark is.
Oh, I actually do like the shot in
the
dark.
So what is it? Like everybody has one?
Yeah. So everybody gets one at the beginning of the game. It's like something that you have. It's a dice that you never actually end up rolling.
Okay.
And which is my biggest pet peeve of the shot in the dark. It's like, why make it a
die if you don't get to roll it?
Yeah, literally. But basically, if you really feel like you're going to go home, you can play your quote unquote shot in the dark. And basically you put it into a little thing and then you take out a parchment and there's a 1 in 6 chance of you being safe, but you cannot vote. So you basically you're losing
your vote. You sacrifice
your vote
for like a temporary immunity.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. Yes. It's hit like 3 or 4 times. It's saved.
That's cool.
It saved 2 people since season 41 when it was when it started.
Yeah.
And there have been, I think Zach Wurtenberger is the first person ever to go home with unanimous vote, first time ever unanimous vote, because he used it on himself and every single person voted for him. So there was, it wasn't a, 5-1, it was a 5-0 vote.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's kind of a weird, you know, add on to the game.
All right.
But I think it's interesting. I think there are
it's
a lot of
better than rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Well, all that to say, yeah, in that case, it's just, I guess you're signaling that to both sides, like everything's cool. Don't worry. Everything's fine. Yeah, I mean, I guess the biggest problem with a lot of advantage stuff can be that people feel a need to tell people, and I'm just as guilty of this as anybody. And it's almost like this kind of circumvents that, like you have to be.
Yeah.
Like you have to be willing to talk about it.
Because there's no way you're going to be able to literally carry on this ball and chain, cannonball and chain, without other people noticing. Or else if you try to do that, you're really just like, okay, I guess I'm like, I'm caught carrying this giant ball and chain. Where did you get it? Why do you have it? Like, it's very clear that this is something. And I feel like they're, to me, production kind of is like forcing intrigue here, because I think it's kind of interesting when somebody can keep something secret. Like if you think about it, some of the best idol plays in, of all time is because somebody kept something secret.
Yeah.
Parvati's double idol play. Russell didn't know.
Right. Right.
Kelly Wentworth will not count. I don't think anybody knew that she had an idol at that point. And so I think that like being able to keep it secret is interesting.
Yeah.
I get what they're trying to do, but it just feels a little bit forced to me.
It definitely adds more dimensions, but it takes away a little bit of the impact of this person successfully kept something secret for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how this one plays out now that an entire tribe is aware of an idol. I mean, it puts a lot of pressure on Alex as the person owning it. I don't know. We'll see. I'm curious about it. The paint thing is terrible.
It was crazy.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. And then it was Sue who found it in season 47.
Yeah.
And in the next time on Survivor, like the episode before she found it, they like pretended that she was like severely injured, because in the episode, she's like, oh, I'm bleeding. And they're like, oh, you're bleeding a lot.
Your hand is covered in paint.
You're bleeding a lot. Like, do we need to call medical? And she's like, no, I'm actually fine.
That is, you're covered in
red. It was very comical,
dear
very funny.
Lord. Oh
yeah, they've done a lot of really interesting things with the Beware Advantage. My thing about Alex at Tribal Council, though, is I get what he was trying to do, trying to keep everybody, not at bay, but, you know, everybody knows this one thing. But I think that he works in politics, right?
Yeah. Interesting to, I mean, after the whole John of it all, I'm curious to see them bringing more Capitol Hill people
exactly.
in. Yeah.
But I think that, like, I don't know if he told people he works in politics, but I don't really want to show people that I'm a good liar this early on.
No.
Because he was able to, the reason why Nicole went home really without playing her shot in the dark is because Alex was like, no,
you're
fine.
Good. Yeah.
And then we're seeing him lie again. Yeah. I feel like that's the kind of a thing you want to kind of,
yeah,
keep quiet
for now. Yeah, I mean, that's what's so, it's like, and it, man, I feel like it's especially early game, especially with a small tribe with what, with six people. Like, it's I mean, if you can go with a majority and just take somebody out without having to like play hard, you kind of have to,
right?
And you can save those moves for later. If you end up doing these crazy maneuvers like two votes in with five people, like, it's just the you're giving away so much for so little in the long term. And I understand in the moment you're playing for survival, you know, you're just trying to make it to the next stage, but I'm with you. I would be as lax as absolutely possible.
I get where he's coming from, I agree. We do have some people in the comments here that I want to shout out. Alan says Jacob Derwin, one of the best and most entertaining pre-mergers of all time.
Thanks, Alan.
And also somebody by the name of Riz God is here saying Ghost Island legend Jacob Derwin.
The Riz God? If it's the Riz God, well, congratulations on on making it on the season, man. Excited to watch you, and I appreciate that. If it's some other guy named Riz God, nice to hear from you too. Thank you.
I'm really excited to talk to you about kind of all of this, because I know that you are also kind of, you said you were not so much watching like as you did previously.
Yeah, no, it's been a couple years. Yeah, so this is, I mean, I pop in now and then, like I'll see a finale or I'll go to a watch party with some friends or something. But yeah, I haven't really paid close attention. So I'm definitely like coming in a little bit with fresh eyes about like how these things operate. The thing that really caught me about episode two is like, we were talking a little bit before going live, how there's like, for the first time that I can think of in a very long time, there's an emphasis on the actual, like, we need to eat. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this in a lot. Maybe this has been relevant in the 40s and I've just missed it, but this is the first time I can think of it from years of watching since like the early days, where like resources are becoming a part of the plot here. Yeah. Like Sophie and Alex, and I mean, they seem toast.
Yeah.
And it's only been a couple days.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I think, you know, in the new era, when they take away, where they don't get a machete, a pot, or a flint. And so you're really kind of, you have nothing.
You got nothing.
You have absolutely nothing out there, and you're surviving on coconuts. And I was listening to another podcast last week. I think it was with Asia from season 47. And Asia was saying how, you know, almost a machete is more important in the new era than fire.
I agree.
Because you can't open the coconuts.
I was going to say, how are you opening the coconut? I mean, I remember Dom on our season, like, had these, like, he would like slap it against a stick or whatever, but you had to sharpen the stick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not easy. Those things are hard. They're coconuts. Famously hard objects.
Yeah. Famously. If it falls from a palm tree, it's not great for you.
Yeah. No. Heads up, bud.
Yeah.
Fruit. Fruit,
it's a fruit,
right?
Yeah, okay, it's a fruit. Yeah, it's a fruit, I think. It's a fruit.
It's gonna end up being like a legume or something. It's like a bean.
It's a bean. No, but I think you're totally right. And I also think that, you know, previously at the before the season started, we heard a little bit about how hot it was gonna be.
Yes.
And I do also think, like, being malnourished as the Blue Tribe is, and also having that kind of excruciating heat, it seems, is not it's not a good combination for them, because they've lost. And so they've said five things at this point. They've lost the marooning. They lost the fight for supplies. They lost the first immunity. I guess we're technically counting the journey as a loss.
Yeah.
And then and then we're losing also the second immunity challenge. That's a lot of losses, a lot of L's.
That's tough, man. It's demoralizing, especially, I mean, it's also one thing if you're on a big tribe with like 9 to 10 people. Mm-hmm. To be on a 6-person tribe, like, that pressure is really high.
Yeah.
Like, there's nowhere really to hide. You just need to hope that, like, you're in the core of whatever's going to be chopped off on the end. And you also need to hope, like, frankly, I mean, I don't know how this season plays out. In the old days, there was a swap pretty early in a lot of seasons. You're almost playing for the swap in those early couple episodes. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they have to stick around like this for a second. And if that's the case, you're going to get eaten alive really quickly.
Yeah. In the new era, they actually took out swaps in the beginning for a while. And then in 44, they did like a 1-person swap. So one person from each tribe was swapped to a different tribe.
And was each one voted out?
No,
shortly after?
Actually, okay. One of them went very far.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then I can't remember one of them got voted out really quickly.
Yeah.
One of them went really far and I can't remember the other one. And then I think it was in season 45, there was a proper swap. And I don't think we've seen a proper swap
since then.
It's been a
couple seasons now. Okay.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, because I very well could be. Yeah. But I do think that this is a season where I want a swap really badly, because I don't like seeing a decimated tribe.
We don't need to have a Stephanie moment here. We don't need to have a Guatemala moment.
It's very...
Guatemala? No.
Palau. But she was also
I meant Palau. Forgive me.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't think it's fun to watch somebody lose over and over and over again. I think it's fun to watch them win, finally.
I mean, if they do.
If they do.
It's tricky, man. I mean, Jeff actually references it during Tribal. He says there's a bit of a history of, like, the people who survive these disaster tribes sometimes. I mean, you got your Denises and whatnot, but, like, you know, it's true. If you become a kind of a free agent and people don't see you as, like, well, they're part of this thing and this thing is dangerous and I need to break it up, like, you can kind of free agent your way to the end. It's happened a couple times, or at least go pretty deep. But it doesn't always play out that way.
I will say, though, so at one, we're talking about the Blue Tribe, and I wrote this down. Hello. At one time, Annie was talking to Alex. I think it was actually pretty early on in the episode. And she was basically saying that she wanted to do, and she said this in her exit interview, she wanted to have a secret duo with Alex. Yeah. And she actually said she talked to Alex probably 5 or 6 times total. She really wanted to replicate, it seems, Kyle and Camilla's relationship from last season. I don't know if you saw the latter end, but Kyle and Camilla were this very tight duo that were on a merge together, or were on a tribe together, made it, they were on a tribe swap together. Mm-hmm. They made it to the merge together, and they really had a secret alliance that nobody really knew
about.
That's
impressive.
And obviously, spoiler alert, Kyle ended up winning the season. Yeah. Camilla would have probably won the season had she won Fire. So it was a
came down to Fire.
Oof. Yeah. So she was a final four. So she it was like a very impressive run for the two of them.
Yeah.
And this group, season 49, saw about, I would say, I think they made it to like final seven of 48 or something like that.
Yeah.
So like they made it through to where they saw Kyle and Camilla doing really well. And so I do think that Alex or Annie specifically wanted to try to replicate that. And I think Alex was like, yes, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And Annie did say, who really cares goes from our tribe as long as it's not one of us, because if we go to the merge, then we know we're tight, which I don't think is a wrong idea to have.
No,
it's hard to do though.
It's hard to do. I Annie reminded me of me here. Another musician going out second. Happens. It happens all to musicians. Do terrible on Survivor. Ben Katzman's like the exception. Everybody else, we all do fucking terrible. Sorry, I didn't mean to curse.
You can curse.
It's all right. Thank you. No, because I had the exact same thought, which is like I was talking about with swaps, especially if they were more prominent during my season. I'm like, so we get rid of a challenge piece. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be playing against them in a few days anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. You know what I mean? But to a tribe of people who are hungry and losing, it's like, but why would I do that?
Yeah.
We don't know that. And on top of that, you're telling me with the context that swaps aren't as frequent anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, feasibly, reasonably, it makes sense that if someone's saying, well, we get rid of the challenge piece, I don't give a damn. Like, no, honey, no. It's the wrong tone for the moment. And obviously we're only seeing bits and snippets, so. And the edit is meant to make Annie look really aggressive and really power hungry. I don't really know if she was. It could have been sparse for all we know. But you can't force a duo like that.
No.
It happens through trial. It happens through time. I mean, you can make a million final two deals. Yeah. You know what I mean? But
we
like,
saw that on Big Brother this season.
Dude, I had never watched Big Brother, and I caught the finale.
Oh,
I was just at home bored, and I watched the finale, and I'm like, how does anybody watch this show? This is unbearable.
It was not a very good season, I will say.
That's what everyone tells. Oh, this one wasn't that bad. This one wasn't that good. I'm like, you know, the ones are better? Brother? Anyways, cast me Big Brother. No. But I feel like good duos, it's you know, like you can't, I mean, Kyle and Camilla, I didn't see that season, but like you can't just replicate like a Denise and a Malcolm.
No.
Like that happens because they're the people who were there that have stuck together and have decided to cling to each other in a storm.
Yeah.
It's storm forged. Mm-hmm. It's not, well, you and I will just stick it out. We'll kill everybody else off. Like there's other people and they outnumber you. Like, I don't know. It doesn't work that way.
I think Annie's a really interesting person because I listened to obviously the preseason, all that stuff.
Right.
And Annie, while she is the lead of a band, she also was a CEO of a company. And she has run a couple of, I think, like, what is it called when you do biking, swimming, and running? She's
triathlons.
Triathlons. Yeah. She's in marathons. Like, she's a pretty strong woman.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to tell anybody any of this. She wanted to lean into the musician, lean into the whatever, and not tell anybody about being a boss. But the problem is I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, when you're out there on the island, no matter how much you want to change yourself.
You are who you are.
You are who you are. Yeah. And I made a video about this, and I genuinely think that this is something that people should start doing. Everyone's lying about their job nowadays, right?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of jokey TikToks about like, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm a barista because, and it's like, why not?
Yeah.
Bartenders do great on Survivor. Like, why not tell everyone you're a barista?
Exactly. But I think that the people who they think that they have quote unquote threatening jobs, Annie thinks that being a CEO is a threatening job because, you know, she makes decisions. She's a
smart woman.
Brendan
on our season also lied about being a former CEO.
Really?
Yeah. He was a gym teacher, but he had, I think he sold off his company or he had left or something. But he had been a CEO.
I think he's the,
yeah.
No, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Is he the one that started the
I don't know
bar company?
I don't know what it was.
Because there was somebody recently who's
I thought it was like sports equipment or athletic.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
I can't remember. But all
just,
this to say, yes.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. Yeah. If you are a person who is a boss in real life, who makes decisions, who does all this stuff, I think the best thing you should do is go on to the island and say, hey guys, I'm this.
Yeah.
I usually take the leadership role in my life. I would like to be I would want this to be a collaboration here. So if you ever feel like I am, you know, pushing a little bit too hard or bossing you guys a little bit too much, let me know. And I want to pull it back because I want to work in harmony with you guys.
Yeah.
At least tell people, because I think that way you're kind of letting them know I'm self-aware enough to know that this might be a problem, but I want to work with you guys. And so criticize me, tell me to my face rather than bonding with somebody else by criticizing me behind my back.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen regardless if someone has an issue with you. Like, they're going to talk about you. Survivor's about talking about other people. Mm-hmm. It's a gossipy show. Shocker. but like, yeah, no, I don't know if it actually matters. I don't know if your job, I think the only way that a job could directly impact your perception or the people, the way people perceive you, is if it implies you have a certain amount of status or wealth. Mm-hmm. If I'm blunt, I think that's why all the sports people tried to hide that they're sports people, because they probably made a lot of money back in the day, and now like they're trying to coast and they don't want people thinking like, well, why would I give a millionaire more money? Like, right. Whatever. I think no matter, I mean, I guess people who are in good standing have won the money before. It's not hard, impossible, but I do think it lingers in the back of your head as for a jury. But as for like the way people are going to perceive the way you are, like, you're all on the same show on an island in your underwear. Like, the playing ground's pretty even. And if your ability as a team leader is impacting the group, then like, what does it matter if you're a CEO or not? You know what I mean? I think it's a little irrelevant, except if you're a musician, apparently. Musicians, you should all lie about being
all lie musicians. About that.
Yeah.
I will say, so Nate, for example, on the Red Tribe is a producer for Marvel. And so he is somebody where I do believe that. Now, I think he could also use that as a bond, because Juwan on his tribe is also
video editor.
He's a video editor in LA who loves Marvel. And in his preseason, he was actually comparing all of the
superheroes
to superheroes.
That's funny.
I'm pretty sure they were also all Marvel superheroes, too, which was so funny. And then they ended up on the same tribe together. So I do think that's a way you could, you know, bond. But I also get, you know, bury that lead. That's kind of the one I understand.
Yeah.
All of the other ones, honestly, being a lawyer now is almost a
and
who cares?
Everyone's a lawyer. I feel like that's been like the joke I've seen the last couple of years. Everyone's like a lawyer or a what's the other thing, or a doctor or something.
Exactly. It's one of those things where it's just like, and I don't really feel the need to everyone. I don't think everyone should lie about that. But I especially feel like if Annie, I think, had been upfront, I don't think that maybe would change her, like what would happen to her. But I do think that it might have helped her forge bonds and not let other people forge bonds because of her.
The more you lie, the more you have to keep track of your lies, and the more lies you have to keep track of, the more full your head is full. It's a lot. It's a lot to take into account on a day-to-day basis. You need to honestly, like, not to be like, honesty is the best way to play Survivor, but like, the less you have to lie about, the better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The more personal and honest your connections are, the better. And if you get to the end of the game and you reveal that you've been lying to everyone about everything the whole time, how do you think that's going to make people feel?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? It's
exactly. Well, let's talk about the Red Tribe a little bit here.
Yeah, sure.
So what are they called? I feel like you have the tribe names better than I do.
Uli. Is that it?
Uli.
I didn't write a lot about them here, but I'll
they're, so they seem to be just strong.
Yeah.
They just seem to be like a strong, it seems like there's a core four forming with Riz, Nate, Savannah, and Shannon, leaving Sage and Juwan kind of out in the cold.
Sage, who I love whatever's wrong with Sage. I seriously love whatever's going on with Sage. I'm a big fan.
She's so funny.
She's such a specific flavor. I'm so into it.
Oh, yeah. You might love this. So in her preseason, she was saying that the way I prepared for one of the ways I prepared, because she was in the Marines.
Really?
She was in the Marines or Army. Really? I can't remember which one.
Not what I was getting from her at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell so yeah.
She
absolutely
did that right outside of high school to help pay for college.
Very cool.
And then she went to college, and then she's now a social worker.
Very good.
But in her preseason, she was like, I don't really feel the need to like really focus on the strength. I feel like I have the strength because obviously she
Army,
was,
military.
She was in the military. But what she did say was, I really felt like my mind was the thing that needed strengthening. And so the way she did that was she took shrooms.
She prepped for Survivor by taking shrooms.
Yes. Isn't that the most amazing thing you've ever heard in your whole life?
Wow. And she talked about this
in a preseason interview.
And CBS was like, all right with that.
I guess
that's crazy.
Isn't that incredible? That's nuts. Like, I wanted to make sure, like, you know, I wanted to see where my mind would go and all of this stuff. And that's kind of how I prepped.
That's wow. Okay. Well, wouldn't have bet on it, but I'm a big fan. I don't know, like literally the moment they cut to her, like in the first episode where it's like, you in the back, what's your name? And she immediately winces like, oh God. I'm like, yeah, I like you. You're yeah. great. Big yeah. fan. Yeah. No. All right. I mean, I'm not a drug user, but she seems like the right so person funny. To hang out with.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. Oh, and great. I think that like, it seems like with this next time on Survivor, the thing that we saw at the very end of the episode, it seems like something is wrong in the Red Tribe where Savannah feels like, obviously she said in the episode that Juwan was on the outs and that Juwan yeah. would be an easy vote. Yeah. But then we see in the next time on Survivor, it seems like Sage and Savannah are having like, are like butting heads. Oops, butting heads for some reason. And I'm just like, I don't really see how this is going to come yeah. about because, again, what I'm seeing in the edit, Sage doesn't seem like somebody who's going to
there's
really
not
butt
conflict.
Heads.
Yeah. No, Savannah seems a little more like a conflict driver to me. Like there's the moment yeah. where like Juwan accidentally uses her backpack to gather mm-hmm. sticks or whatever. And it cuts to her. She's like, dude. And like the confessional, she was like, I'm trying to play it cool. And it cuts to a shot of her.
Not cool
Savannah
at all.
Playing it cool. Just like the opposite of looking cool about it. So I get the vibe that maybe she's a little bit more of a fire starter. With those kinds of things.
Yeah.
She was a former news anchor. Is that her
yes.
stick?
Yes.
As a former journalist myself, like there's definitely a kind of a go-getter mentality. And I could see, I mean, I get frustrated by it, by people who are maybe working a little slowly mm-hmm. or maybe who are a little late on the come up mm-hmm. or maybe not quite getting it. I don't want to assume how any kind of conflict might start, but they're definitely opposites in terms of one's most definitely more of a go-getter and say it seems a little more
yeah
we'll figure this out as we go. I'm just trying not to piss my pants right now, you know what I mean, which is fabulous.
Yeah, I would like to see how many now in two episodes in how many times we hear Sage talk about bodily functions.
I mean Savannah
that
has a line about taking dumps in the
three
ocean
dumps in the ocean.
I'm
yeah.
like this is a very open tribe.
Tim, there was season 40. Tim was on season 46 of Survivor. I think it was yeah. 46. And it was like the first time anyone I think ever had talked about an aqua dump or something.
Second. Was it Braun tribe? I think it was the Braun tribe. The first guy eliminated. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but there was a joke. It showed him in the ocean.
Oh my God.
And I can't, I think they,
I did not remember. I did not recall
it's
that.
It's like Scott. Yelling like brown trout or something.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're really leaning into the bottle.
They're really into it right now.
They're really into it right now, which is, I think it's funny, but it is very weird. Do you think that we'll see the Red Tribe go to tribal council anytime soon?
It's hard to tell with the edit. Hina seems unbeatable. So I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if we keep going the way we're going, and speaking of the next time on Survivor, like, they're showing Jake getting
oh my gosh.
Bitten by a snake, I think. So yeah. like I don't know. I mean if something happens and they have to I don't think they would reveal. I don't think in the promo they would say, here's a guy who has to be pulled out of the game.
Yeah.
And exactly. I don't think they would so I think he's probably gonna stay in, but like if they're not eating, they're not warm, and Jake is there, and so it's Jake and Sophie. Like it's not, I don't know. I don't think, yeah, I think we might be looking at a full-on decimation. Right
I
now.
Think, I think you're, I think full you're probably right.
Yeah.
I'm again, not looking very forward to that, but yeah. that it is what it is.
Unless there's some crazy other like journey thing. That
yes.
changes it up.
Yes. Yeah. But you brought up the snake. So I want to talk about that really quickly because yeah. that is something that you were in Fiji, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So how was the wildlife while you were out there?
The saying was the only things that can really hurt you in Fiji are the sun and your own stupidity. It's really hard to get hurt. I never had anything interact. I wasn't there that long. Crab crawls and you kind of freak out for mm-hmm. a second, you know, rats or bugs or whatever. Nothing crazy. I was never warned about any poisonous snakes. And if I was, it wasn't a big enough concern. It's not a hostile place, and they've been on these same islands for a long time.
For a long time, yeah.
So I think it's probably surprising to everybody.
Yeah. So I originally was on the boat that mm-hmm. that it was not going to be medevac. I think that Jake might be medevaced, or they pull an Australian survivor and they go treat him and then they bring him back, which would be obviously a first on Survivor,
yeah.
but. Omer tweeted from season 43. Omer tweeted, the banded sea crate is one of the most venomous. Yeah. I said venomous on one of my videos recently. Venomous but least aggressive snakes in the world. An actual bite would be a major medical emergency. And this is what a venomous sea crate looks like.
And the one they show on the promo kind of looks like
it
that.
Looks a lot like that. The one they show in the promo.
That's. I mean, I don't think you reveal that in the promo.
I think that that would be crazy to reveal that in the promo. But then they've also put more advertisements on TV that you can see like a medical team coming up. And they're then you hear somebody it. Say, is he breathing?
That would be crazy.
I know.
So back when I used to write a blog where I'd analyze the promos, and I remember figuring out back on like the Brain Beauty Braun days that like there's a scene where his name's Caleb, he was on Big Brother. There's a scene where he collapses from heat stroke or he's having like a kidney moment and they remove him from the game. And they show a clip of like the entire crew like coming into something and like ice, and they show this whole scene, but they don't show it's him. And I remember like writing in the blog that I'm like, based on the promo, based on who we see, I'm pretty sure it's Caleb. So like I worked out who it was going to be, but I had to like read between the lines to get there. I actually told Jeff this about this during my interview for the show, and he was angry at me for talking about that. He's just like well, anyone could do. I'm like, yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I kind of read through the edit a little bit, here's what I did. He's like, I think he found it a little bit preposterous to go in. So I don't know if these days they're being more blunt about these things.
Well,
when's the last time there was a major medevac?
There have been medevacs recently, people like hurting their arm or their leg. Matthew on season 44 was jumping off of a rock and he was having fun and he jumped off a rock and I think he hurt his knee or his arm or something.
And that was that.
Yeah. And so there have been, I think, like, but none that have been like
life threatening.
This would be the first in the new era, I believe.
I mean, if he was actually seriously bitten by a highly poisonous snake, I mean, that's up there with falling in the fire.
Yeah.
And we know he's fine.
Yeah, that's what I said. No, somebody got mad at me in one of my videos because I said, Jake's fine because I saw him at a thing. And they were like, spoiler. And I was like, spoiler that Jake didn't
dead.
Die?
Yeah, he's fine. He's
okay.
All right.
Yeah, I will spoil that, everybody. Yeah, Jake is alive.
He's alive and doing all right, hopefully. I don't know. I mean, is he breathing?
That I heard. Yeah, I wrote it down. Wait, I wrote it down because I was like, in the promo, you hear somebody say in the back, is he breathing? That does not mean that like anything. It could just be like,
it's someone back player. At camp. Yeah. Okay.
It could just be a player in the being like, oh God, is he breathing? Is he okay?
I think that's playful editing. I think playing that up is crazy for the show.
I think it's crazy.
This is not something Survivor does very often. And when they do reveal that someone's been hurt or there's a medevac, I don't remember any time of them playing it up this hard. This is pretty wild.
Yeah, it's very wild.
Interesting.
And that's kind of one of the reasons why I actually kind of think why this would be an Australian Survivor move.
Yeah.
So if you don't watch Australian Survivor, there is a rule that if you get injured, you can be taken away. I believe it's maximum 24 hours from the game. And if you then you can be pulled out or you can be put back in. So for example, George on Heroes versus Villains in Australian Survivor, spoiler alert for God, I'm so People have really kind of made me so defensive about spoilers.
There's a lot of show.
But he first episode gets pulled for I think 24 hours
episode
and then
one.
With somebody else, and he gets put back in the game and then she gets pulled because she needed like collarbone surgery or something. It was like really bad.
They both hurt themselves that bad
in the same exact moment.
What happened?
There was the challenge.
They like collided?
It was no, the challenge was, you know those like barrels that you can like roll over?
Yeah.
It was that, but instead it was a block.
Oh,
so it was, and so it like they like crushed, and he has this big gash here, and he's like bleeding from his head.
Yeah.
She, I think, broke this right here. I believe she since sued Australian Survivor over that.
I don't blame her.
That's
wild.
But he got put back in the game.
So this
could be the first of American Survivor doing that.
I don't see American Survivor doing that.
I know.
As long as Jeff is executive producer,
I think. That
is. I mean, I appreciate that rule a lot because I think it would have saved us from a lot of eliminations that were way too premature. You know, I think about like Pat, you know what I mean? Getting like his head hit on the boat on the way in and having to leave and that's it.
Yep.
The guy doesn't get to do a full 24 hours because the water was rough. You know what I mean? Like having a 24 hour window to check that kind of thing, I think is good. I don't think it's going to happen with our show.
I think you're probably right. I also
don't think Jake's getting meta-backed. They're going to take it really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe he did get bit. I don't think there's any venom. I think they keep him on watch. I think it's something they're prepared for.
I don't know anything about medicine, but maybe they also give him like anti-venom and it like immediately works and he's fine.
It probably still sucks, but it's,
yeah. No pun intended. I mean, it's a snake. He's not sucking the blood.
Yeah,
but it's
famously snakes sucking on
But they look like vampire
snakes. if I had to predict based on like my prior knowledge of the show, I would say it's most likely that he did get bit and they check on him and they don't find any venom, or it's something that they feel pretty good about, like monitoring for 24 hours or whatever, just like keeping an eye on him over the next couple of hours on the beach. He's fine, he's good, they keep going. That's what I would bet.
I like this. Okay, I like this because a lot of people are also saying, so the preview photos, it's a water challenge, so they're jumping off of things, and we don't see Jake in any of the photos in the preview photos.
My God.
But here's the thing: haven't they in the past kept him like said, oh, this person can't do this
because they need
to rest, they can't do this. Yeah. So everyone now can only do this three people.
It's true,
but he's still in the game.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. People have been kept in with serious injuries before.
Yeah,
was it Missy on Blood vs. Water has like a full on broken leg, but they have her in a boot.
Yeah,
because it's like manageable. And like
Tyson with his well, I mean, he kind of played that up a little bit, but yeah, Tyson with his like arm,
his shoulder. Yeah, yeah. No, there's definitely instances of that.
Yeah,
I would be really surprised if they pulled him for that, and unless it was like very clearly very serious from the get.
Yeah,
they're playing it up a little bit.
I'm excited to watch, not because I like seeing somebody injured, but because I'm just like, my curiosity is run rampant over the past like
so
4 days.
They did a good job then.
Yeah, which don't tell them that. I don't like it when they play up injuries, because I'm just like, I'm here for the mind games.
Yeah, I'm not here for the bodily harm.
Yeah, real. That's very real.
Yeah, I wrote here. I think it was during the tribal when no one could talk in a full sentence. I wrote here, like, Kelle is dead. And like one of those guys is just going to black out. And then right afterwards, after seeing the preview, I'm like, a snake? Like, I'm like,
a snake?
I'm like, this, yeah, straight up, like, they're already so exhausted.
I know.
Give them a break, dude.
It's just one hit after the next.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about one of the hits that they did get that episode, which was The Journey, which wasn't that big of a deal.
Yep.
So The Journey, everyone got to...
By the way, I think that's Ghost Island.
Really?
I think it was. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it was probably also where they did like the giant Rob and Sandra heads. I think it's all the same island.
That's so interesting.
It looked familiar, but that's also been 8 years, so I don't know. But I thought my first.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they use the same island.
I'm pretty
sure.
It looks.
That could be a very real.
Something about it rung.
You had
familiar.
To sleep there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The when it was, they cut to a confessional when he's like on the rocks, and I'm like, that coast is like the exact same.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What was that like being alone? Like, what was it?
I mean, you're with the producer and camera people. It's
okay,
like,
so you're
not actually alone, but yeah, it was fine. I was only there for not even a full day.
Okay.
You know, you leave in the afternoon, you get back the next day. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's funny because there's no, you know, it's just you and the guys. They can't really put you anywhere. So like, I mean, this is a little peeling behind the curtain, but like, you know, there's all these torches lit on the path for you to go play a game or whatever. And it's like, how do you think those torches just got lit? You know what I mean? There's a producer running around with a goddamn flamethrower, just being like, hold on, I got to get, you know, like, it's just how it is. It's all right. It was very funny. It was funny kind of being alone with some guys and just being able to talk to them a little bit, you know, walking around, wandering with a camera woman, just like leading her around a mountain or whatever. It was fun. It was cool. You're kind of so in the moment. You're not thinking about
everything
what's happening.
Else. Yeah.
Else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so The Journey, this was, I don't know, do you know the history since you've kind of,
no.
You know how, so The Journeys are kind of the worst.
okay.
I mean, I'm not that, no one really is a huge fan of The Journeys. The Journeys are interesting.
You see my gambles.
Yeah. So, you usually will go and it's either nowadays, it's either an automatic lost vote or you get something. So it's like. Usually you're either going to come back with something good
or
you're going to
come
back
yourself in the foot.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Now the last season we saw, there was something that every single Survivor fan can agree on is one of the worst journeys that there ever was, which was basically the people that went out there got to play a game of Yahtzee. essentially.
Yahtzee.
Basically.
Yes.
And in order to keep their vote and get something extra, they had to roll, I think it was like five flames. Okay. But if they rolled skulls, more than a certain amount of skulls,
yeah,
they lost their vote. So literally it was a game of chance, and you couldn't decide to not play. You had to play. So there was no choice in the matter.
Yeah, this is very Ghost Islandy, actually.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Weird. I'm kind of shocked. Like, this is,
yes,
this is what they took from that.
And two people basically went home because they lost their votes because of this game of chance. So there was the fandom lost their collective mind.
I get that. Yeah.
Because, you know, we like Survivor because people have agency in
choices.
This game. You can make choices. And if you choose to play the game and you lose your vote, that's on you. You know, forcing people to do that is not fun.
No.
I and a lot of other people are much happier with this journey because, number one, it wasn't an automatic lost vote. So if you lose, you're not automatically losing your vote.
Right.
And if you win, you get a choice about what to do. You can either take somebody's vote away or you can give a tribe disadvantage. Now, obviously, Juwan wins.
Yep.
And he chooses to take the tribe disadvantage, which I think is the right choice for him.
I think that showed a bit of awareness that maybe we might have assumed he was lacking.
Yeah.
I think it shows awareness that he's like, oh, no, I need to be in good with these people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think something like that could ever truly win you safety. I don't know the modern game as well, but when I was paying attention, you know, there was no real... No matter, like, honestly, it was almost like anything you ever did for the tribe was seen as like, well, now we have to get rid of him because people like him.
Oh.
You know what I mean? There's an inherent like, oh, you did something good. You're in danger. You know what I mean? Like, but it seems like it paid off. The general reaction seemed positive. And
I think it could have either gone neutrally, which was doing the thing with the tribe,
or
very poorly for him, which was doing it for himself. And I think that neutrality did buy him a little bit of, because here's the thing, you come back with quote unquote nothing, that means you have something extra. Yeah. And is an extra vote really that gonna help you that much?
In a 4-2? No, it isn't.
It's literally not enough.
Yeah, no, it's an extra vote is really cool and all, but it's not, unless you're playing a really tight game, it's not useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, the coming back with nothing thing is tricky. Like, any of us who have ever come back from an island and had to lie about it, like, you try to come up with something, but no matter what you do, it's a little sus.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can really... I can't think of many examples from the history of the show where anyone successfully skirted around that. Like, it's really hard.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at you funny.
Yeah, because, I mean, you either don't have anything and you did a bad job, or you're lying about having nothing.
And now everybody's like, they're not sure about
exactly.
You. Yeah, it's not good.
And he kind of proves like, hey, I've got this token to prove to you guys.
Here transparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe he has something else, but here's, I really don't, because I had a choice and I chose this one.
Yeah.
And it's a very legitimate, like the way he told it very convincingly, obviously, because it was the truth.
I would hope so. Yeah. I don't know. Some people, you could tell them the truth and they still look at you funny.
That's true. And then not only that is you get Jeff to corroborate that. Yeah. Jeff probes himself because
it's true.
He says it out loud in front of the other tribes. This is exactly what happened. And not only that, it also benefits the other two guys that he was going out there because their stories are also corroborated.
Yeah.
Because look, hey, he chose something.
Yeah. There's no lies here.
There's no lies.
I lost the challenge. So
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea, the concept of a journey. I like the idea that like you can give someone a bit of a hero moment or a little bit of a villain moment or some sort of something. I think that's great. I think that's to scatter that around in a way that isn't just like, and now seven people are running through the jungle looking for a piece of wood hidden in the dirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's nice, but I hope what you're saying, I hope this kind of Yahtzee situation doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we continue to let it be with some agency about what you decide to do.
Yeah.
They don't show it on Ghost Island, but to play the game, you had to like decide to play the game. Like they gave you a token. Mm-hmm. And if you threw the token in the fire, then you had access to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess everyone always played. So they just edited the token out. You never see the token, but like there was a token with a skull on it. It just disappeared into the edit bay. So having some sort of agency, I think, is really important.
Yeah. And I think, okay, so I liked Juwan's first decision.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about a second kind of, I'll say not decision, performance. Because I do believe that he told his tribal, yep, his tribe, that this is what's happening. Do you believe that he just decided on the Yellow Tribe without discussing it with the rest of his tribe? Or do you think that that was, because I think that if I'm telling everybody, I go, hey guys, I think this is what we should do. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happened there? Because we didn't see that.
I don't know. I mean, genuinely speaking, the correct choice was to put it on Kella.
Yeah.
You make the weak tree tribe weaker to guarantee your safety. That's the correct way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the tribe really discussed it and tried to work out what the best call was. I think they would have agreed with that. It's the right call. I don't know. I mean, it's possible he had some sort of other thing going on. Maybe he and Jake had a moment out there during the journey that we don't see. Mm. I don't know. Like it's hard to gauge. It felt like, if anything, the whole thing just felt like Juwan trying to come off as fair and just to the general cast.
Interesting.
And maybe just like seem like a steady dude who's like not trying to make it worse for the worst people and trying to make things relatively fair because he knows it's so strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that. I will say, I think that there is something, I just wish, like, stick with your decision, yeah, right? You know, but yeah, I do think he could have worded it. He could have said, hey, mm-hmm, you know, we decided blah, blah, blah. Even if it wasn't, just say we, yeah, because like the royal we, it doesn't,
royal we,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
we,
sure,
decided this, we did this.
Yeah.
I actually, the reason why I think he chose to give the Yellow Tribe the disadvantage, mm-hmm, I think that he wanted to win first place because they had come in second to them, I think, every time.
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, don't they say that at the Olympics, the person who wins the silver is the most upset?
First loser.
Yeah, the most upset because, and then the bronze is just like happy to be there, but the silver's like upset because they didn't get gold, right?
You really think they were playing for first?
I mean, it was fishing gear. Like I,
oh, that's right. There was a reward.
There's a reward. So it's fishing gear. Yeah, so okay, like you're not only just trying to go for first, you're also trying to get more fishing
more gear.
Yeah. I don't know how much that was, but I do think that probably impacted his decision a little bit. Again, okay, was it the right decision? Obviously not, because Yellow ended up winning and now he has six enemies, or at least not friends.
I think it's still, I'll give him credit where it's due. I think he presented it in a way that I don't think he is going to hold it against them too much.
You don't think Sophie's going to hold it against him? She looked pissed.
Isn't Sophie on blue?
Sophie, there's another Sophie.
Oh.
We've only heard like one confessional.
I guess I haven't really noticed her yet. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Sophie.
It's the editor's fault.
Two Sophies. Interesting.
Yeah. One with Sophie on the blue is I. And then Sophie on the yellow is IE. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying like, I think there is something to be said about saying these guys have it hard enough. Let's try to make this fair. I'm not saying they're going to be happy with you, but right, I think the fact that they won, it's kind of like, all right, oh well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's, I think it's the least harmful thing they could have done with the disadvantage.
I get that.
No,
I get that.
I don't know. It's, I mean, I don't know if he's thinking about it this far in advance, but like we were talking about earlier, if people from Kella, the blue tribe, if they survive, like the people they're going to be the most pissed at are going to be the folks who kept beating down, yeah, on them when they were already in trouble. You know what I mean? Like I wouldn't exactly be happy with the guy who's like, hey, we're already screwed and hungry. And then also, fuck you. Here's 20 pounds of coconuts. You know what I mean? Like,
literally.
It's, you know, it's a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm on blue in that moment, I might actually be like, OK, here's a fair guy I can trust later on.
That's OK. That's a good point. I think that this is one where I feel like both decisions are hard.
Yes.
And I think that there's a right decision on paper, but I'm interested to see how it actively plays out, because I do think that you're right. There is a world, yeah, in which, say, blue tribe gets decimated, or hey, maybe there's a swap and he ends up on a tribe with three blue tribe, one red and two yellow.
It's
or something.
It's so lucky.
You know,
you don't know. There's no way to know. It's yeah. Again, and on paper, in person, the way the things fall, it's a whole, who knows?
Who knows?
We're just rolling dice, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. This puzzle, though, that was a, you know,
the second block puzzle in two immunity challenges.
Put this in the deep freeze.
Dear Lord.
New Jeffism.
yeah, I was just like, what?
Yeah, that was that was really hard to watch. Okay, we talked about this a little bit earlier. What do you, if you, the people online were speculating.
Yeah.
Do you think that they threw this? What do you think?
I was thinking about it because they're just standing there. They're just, Annie's yelling out directions, and she's wrong because she doesn't realize that some of the pieces are built in.
Yeah.
She's wrong about her directions, but it's they're just, they're moving a couple things around. They're not doing much. Obviously they're beat. And Sophie seems really upset afterwards. But like, there was a part of me that thought, you know, they've just, you know, Alex and Jake discovered the whole Bear thing and they have to go dig up this idol or they're going to lose a vote or whatever. And there's the whole, like, if they lose, they have to lose to activate it and all this stuff. There's all that happening. At least three of them are pretty confident that they can vote out Annie and be safe. Mm-hmm. They know they're exhausted. They know they're beat. They know they're in trouble. Like, the way it plays out, I kind of find myself thinking, and they were in first. They were in first going into the poll. Everything about it kind of reads fishy, and it's completely possible that they were literally just gassed and couldn't see straight. It's completely possible. You know, Jeff does his little, it's not an air-conditioned studio situation. Like, you
I don't know. They should do it. They should do it in an air-conditioned studio. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. You know, and I took and I took that personally as a cast member on the floor. And you should you know, air conditioned. What's wrong with an air conditioned?
What is wrong, Jeff?
Yeah, Michael Jordan beam. And I took that personally. but yeah, no, I guess there were enough factors in play to where it did lead me. I mean, a little conspiracy-y that they would never mention it in the edit.
Yeah,
but it did lead me to think that it's very possible they threw the
I mean, we're talking, do you think that throwing challenges is a good idea in Survivor? How do you
think
about that?
I think it's generally a bad idea because no matter how safe you think you are, things happen.
Yeah.
Things happen. That's all they ever do. Like, yeah. You never know what you are going to wind up in at Tribal. You know, you can be as confident as possible, but someone had a conversation 10 minutes ago and they decided, you know what? Screw that guy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. You should always pick safety and survival over big risky plays like that if it's completely unnecessary.
Right.
I think back to One World. Like those, you know what I mean? I just had Bill here a few months ago. We chatted about his comedy and like we didn't talk about Survivor at all, but I do think about like this guy goes home because for no reason.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like so I think it's generally a bad idea. I can understand where their heads might be at, especially with the whole idol on the line thing, but
here's the thing though, the idol on the line, really, like, you're losing your vote does not matter unless you're going to tribal council.
That's true.
And you can go to tribal council at any point, even when you're about to, like, if you hit the merge, say you win every single thing, you go to tribal council, you're going to have to go to tribal council at some point.
That's true.
No one is going to go all of Survivor without going to a tribal council.
That's true.
So, I think that they were just gassed. I do think that, I don't know, because it just makes me... They feel so safe. They feel that safe.
No, I agree with you. I don't think it's the right call. And I could be entirely wrong here. It's just it looked so bad.
It looked really bad. It really looked really bad.
Someone commented, two Sophies. Interesting. Jacob, you literally had two Stephanies on your tribe. You're right. I did have two Stephanies on our tribe. But we called her Gonzalez immediately. It was, but she
oh, it was
literally,
immediate.
Literally day one, she walks up to the campfire. She's like, you guys can call me a Gonzalez to make it easier. And we're like, got it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know if they're differentiating.
Well, I don't think they have to yet.
I guess they're not the same tribe. Yeah.
Right, that, honestly, maybe they should do more of that because I feel like, you know, that's why we call Boston Rob, because there was New York
Pretty
Rob.
Common name, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
On Marquesa, there was New York Rob and Boston Rob.
That's right.
Well, I guess they ended up calling New York Rob the General.
I don't remember that. And I don't remember Marquesa very much.
I just remember because he doesn't call him, like, they did that because there were two Robs.
Yep.
That's the only reason.
That's all.
And now it's a
trademark, I'm sure.
It's got it.
Copyrighted?
It's gotta be.
I wonder if he has it or if CBS has it.
Right? Interesting. Ooh. I would hope he has it, but you never know.
You sign those papers, dude. Who knows? they got my likeness for Infinity and Beyond, y'all.
Infinity and Beyond.
It says it on the paperwork, man. But yeah, all that to say, do I think for sure it happened? Probably not. But
yeah.
It looked really bad.
Yeah, it did.
It looked really bad.
It did. Well, so they lose, and obviously the idol hunt is on.
Yeah, the entire tribe.
The entire tribe is now looking for this idol. It was so funny. Now, okay, Jeremiah did say something in this where he's like, why am I always the last one to find out about everything?
He didn't just laugh his maniacal head off. He said words.
That's one of the most
incredible things I've ever heard.
I loved that bit. Where he was like, Annie, you're going home. And he just like...
And it just cuts to him laughing
for 45 minutes.
6 seconds straight. Does not cut.
No. The whole episode was actually just Jeremiah laughing.
Oh my God.
And I loved it. It was so good.
Woo. Jeremiah, if you hear this, I adore your voice, my guy.
I love him. I love him so much.
Yeah. So, I mean, they kind of reference it on the one of the other tribes too, don't they? There's someone else also talks about being fourth.
MC is,
that's right,
saying like, why am I being brought in now? How long have you guys been a three? Now I'm just learning about this.
I think it's important for someone to say that out loud in a confessional in some way, because you know, this is how these mistakes are, how people who think they're in a secure core get flipped on out of nowhere at like the third vote,
right,
because they assume they're good, but the fourth person turns out not so happy they were brought in last. And that's true. I mean, the way to win Survivor is to have five alliances where you and one other guy are the core of it. And you vote the third and the fourth and the fifth. That's how Survivor works.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you're the fourth and you know you're the fourth and you're down to, you know, four people, like, well, sorry, bud. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I understand the concerns there for sure.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about Jeremiah, just because, I mean, I think that I also maybe read into the edit a little bit too much, but I think that was added in for some kind of reason, because like, you know, he is the last one to be found to find out everything. Yeah. Even though they say over and over again, we're a strong four, we're a strong four. How strong is that four going to be when you're down to four, which you are now? Yeah. And you know, we also just saw another thing. Annie in episode one was the backup vote. She even said on her in her ex interviews that her going off and like looking for idols was the plan. Like, she made this plan with everybody to keep Nicole very, you know, happy and whatever. And look, oh, look, yeah, Annie's the easy vote because she's going off and all by off by herself.
Yeah.
But then obviously she's the next vote.
Yeah.
So sometimes being the last to find out or being the decoy is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Do you think Sophie or Jeremiah should feel nervous for this next episode if they do go back to tribal council? Or do you think that, because Sophie was the only other vote this episode, so who do you feel more worried for?
We're getting a lot more of Sophie right now. And we're really, not to read the edit too much, where the emphasis seems to be on him and her and Jake as like a duo. Mm-hmm. They seem pretty tight. I don't think either of them turn on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it either becomes, Jeremiah and Alex turning on Sophie and using an idol to make it happen
because
it's a two and two or something. Like, I don't, at four, it's so...
It's...
To be at four on like episode three is crazy. Like, that's so hard. Like, how do you actually navigate this?
Yeah.
I think Jake goes along with Sophie no matter what. And I think Alex likes Jake. And he talks about maybe wanting to break them up so Jake sticks with him. But I don't know. You break up a partnership, that doesn't exactly make me want to keep working with my bro.
That's true.
You know, I feel like it kind of damages your relationship going forward.
But is now the time to do that, though? Because as much as I love Sophie and I love her, I think she's really great TV. I love that, you know, her first instinct was to keep the idol for herself.
Yeah.
She could figure out a way.
I feel bad that apparently she's having trouble forming sentences. But yeah.
I know.
Oof.
But I think that, like, I do think that there is a world in which if I'm Alex, right, if we say there's no swap, right, and you know, we do go to tribal council and Jake, and so you think that might be the tighter duo, you take out Sophie now when there's maybe no swap, maybe we're down to three and maybe we have to go down to two, what else is he gonna do? With Jeremiah, but like,
yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think Jake sticks with you if you get rid of his number one, is what I'm saying. Like, if the whole idea
in
is we're trying to appease Jake here, if that's the idea of like, he's my guy and I want to keep working with him, and we're gonna like, if you damage his game by taking away someone that he wants to work with, and you get back to camp that night and you say, I really just want to work with you, man.
Yeah.
He's not going to be like, totally, let's go.
That's true.
The moment there is a swap or a merge, he's going to be looking for other options.
Ship. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the, you know, again, you make someone a free agent, it makes them more powerful because they can navigate on their own more and play into other people's games. You don't. Yeah. No, it's early. I think most likely if you're at four, I mean, you have Jeremiah fighting really hard, but I think you end up with Jeremiah leaving, or there is a 2-2 vote where the idol has to go down, and then who knows where
who
hits.
Knows what happens.
2-2,
maybe, you know, could fire kind of a situation.
It
like
could.
It really could.
Yeah.
But I think you're probably right. I think you're probably, I don't think that Alex wants to burn somebody that he's worked so hard to work with.
It's so risky this early to be like, well, you know, well, now it's so Stockholm-y, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't think that happens. I don't think it works that way. I mean, I don't know what their dynamic is out there, but like, That feels weirdly risky. And I also dig Sophie as a character. I wrote here, Sophie has a very specific vibe and it unsettles me. I'm a big fan. There's kind of like a somewhat trippy Betty Boop thing happening.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Yeah.
She's great. I think that, like, you know, we've obviously, that's the other problem that I have with disaster, quote unquote, disaster tribes,
yeah,
is we learn so much about them.
Yeah.
And then there's a tribe that I feel like people are like, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously,
oh, they're for the second half of the show.
Yeah. We're only two episodes in, but you know, the Yellow Tribe, we don't really know that much of, right? We know, we know that there might be a four with MC Steven.
I couldn't name them.
Hold on.
Yeah,
MC Steven, Matt, and who's the other one? Christina.
I don't. Yeah.
But also then MC, you know, is like, I don't want to be this. So it's just like, I feel like we're missing a third of the game when we have like this disaster tribe.
Yeah, it's true.
Because they
we
have to kind of
them. Yeah.
Exactly. But we're still hearing a lot from the Red Tribe, which I find kind of interesting.
Yeah. I think that might imply that we're gonna have to deal with their votes a little bit sooner.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hina seems pretty dominant.
They seem so dominant. Which is interesting. Yeah. You know, two of those people were alternates for this season.
I was shocked in episode one that they peeled back the curtain.
Yeah.
That is not something Survivor does very often. They don't tell you, they don't explain, they don't want you to explain this stuff.
Yeah.
They don't, like, you're at camp. Like, I remember getting yelled at on day one because I talked about how amazing I thought, like, how huge this production is. I said something along the lines of, like, I just can't believe that there's this huge production. It's all for us to play a game. And I literally get yelled at. It's like, Jacob, no one cares about the production. Don't talk about
the
production.
They care now.
It's so weird to me for, like, hey, let's talk about the fact that I got here 8 hours ago. Like, that's crazy to me. Respect for him.
Yeah.
That is
And MC was also an alternate.
MC's the other alternate.
Yeah. So they're on the same tribe.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
What the hell?
So, and I think that's why they're so dominant. I decided this. So I think that's why they're so dominant, because I think that they brought two probably physically and mentally strong people out with the idea that what are the odds that we're going to need to use two people and they're going to be on the exact same tribe.
Are there only two alternates now?
Only two alternates.
There used to be more.
Yeah, it's only two now.
I remember seeing a list I wasn't supposed to see that had like four to six names on it.
Maybe there might be more alternates prior, but they only send two out to the island. So it's a male and a female.
Okay, copy. That's wild.
And so there was some kind of like drama where two people were basically talking out loud during the pregame.
And they actually cracked down on it this time.
And apparently it was like,
it must have been really blatant.
Apparently it was like very blatant.
People whisper and they go, hey guys, don't do that. Like, no, you know what I mean? Like,
apparently it was bad.
Okay.
Like, Jeff has had, I think, just done like two or three interviews about how it was like, I've never seen anything. Like, it was so blatant and really disrespectful.
Do we know who they were?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. The names haven't been released.
I mean, they have NDAs.
I think you find out your color, your tribe color ahead of time. And my theory is that she painted, because it was a male and a female, that she had like yellow nail polish on or something.
Sure.
And so then he sees that she has yellow nail polish on, knows that they're on a tribe together, and then they start doing some kind of talking.
I guess that's possible. Yeah.
It's my crackpot theory.
It's perfectly valid. I mean, yeah, you know, like, you know, when I was told to pack, like, and pick outfits and stuff, like, I was told the range of colors to look in. Like, you know, generally what hues you're looking at.
Yeah.
Overall. So that's interesting. Yeah. Well, all that to say, good on these guys for jumping in and for killing it right away.
Head first,
And
that's why I think they're so strong, because I think that they probably brought out two very,
it's possible,
quote unquote, strong.
Yeah, it's possible.
Players,
kind of all arounders. Yeah, you need someone. You can't have Jacob Durbin as an alternate. You know what I mean?
Yes, you can.
No. What I'm saying is you need someone who's a little more down the middle, steady.
Season 46 alternate, the two alternates were Shaheen and Rachel. Shaheen went very far in season 48.
And Rachel wins.
And Rachel wins 47.
Yeah.
So imagine those two on a tribe together in season 46.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, if you believe in the idea that, like, some players are just more built for it than others, and the casting knows that. Like, you know, yeah, I, but no, 100%. I think you need to be kind of an all-arounder. I think you need to, like, you can't just be like the brainiac or the strong one or the nerdy one or
the
funny one.
They kind of have to, like,
you need someone in the middle.
You need, like, a kind of like a jack of all trades almost to be, I feel like.
What are their bad? Do you know their jobs or anything like that?
MC is a physical trainer.
All right.
And then I don't know what Jason does, but Jason, I know he's a huge, he was a huge fan of Kenny from Gabon because, and that's why he started watching Survivor.
Whoa. Oh, he's a Smash Bros guy?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's why he started watching Survivor was because he was a fan of Kenny. And so I think he's played some tournaments for Smash Bros, but like I don't know if that's what he does for his job.
Jason Truel, dude, he's a law clerk.
Oh, he's a law clerk.
He's
okay. Yeah.
He's a Kenny fan.
Yeah, isn't that?
Super
honestly,
Smash Bros. Hero got me into Survivor. Both gamers grew up in SoCal, Vietnamese, same birthday. Wow.
Oh, right. They have, it was like, it was, it's crazy. And I was like, got a Kenny reference in 2025. This is what I love. God. I love to hear a Kenny reference in 2025.
What a callback. That's unbelievable. I love like speed running and video games and crap. So like, that's so interesting to hear someone who's probably like aware of like the Hungry Box things and all the crazy Smash Bros tournaments. That's quite a thing for 2025.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Sick. So those are the two alternates, but
hell
I think
Jason.
That they, I really want to see them work together because, Jason,
they might be drawn to each other.
They might. Well, Jason announced that he was an alternate. MC has not.
Yeah, but everyone's got to know.
Everyone's got to. I'm pretty sure they probably did a cast photo. And then they had to probably redo a cast photo.
Maybe the morning
of. They found out 12 hours before they left.
Oh, so they probably took that photo before getting on the boats.
Yeah.
That's because those boat rides, they're getting every angle and every shot. We went back and forth on our boat ride in for like 4 hours. Like, you're up at freaking before the sun comes up that morning to get your stuff together. They absolutely took that photo.
And we know what's funny?
Yeah.
When the season dropped, I knew this the whole thing, I kind of felt like that. I was like, oh, this cast photo seems a little not as good as the other ones.
Oh, it's rushed.
Because it's probably rushed.
100%. They took it that morning.
That is so funny. I actually did not put that together until 100%. Just this very moment. Yep. So they probably know it's MC, but MC probably just doesn't really want to make it.
Or they just didn't keep it in the edit.
Or that's also
because
true.
Jason was just better at articulating.
That's also true. That's also true.
That's trippy, and I can't believe that happened. And
I know, right?
It's been a minute since alternates have had to jump in. Then, if the last one was what, 46?
Well, so the last one, 45, I think, is the last one that the alternates were used. Austin was an alternate.
Got it.
And who was out, and he found out a couple of, I think, days before.
Yeah.
And then an alternate probably would have been used in season 41, but then it wasn't. 41, Jackson was on. He got medevaced, kind of. He got pulled from the game day two because he was taking some kind of medication, and he was weaning himself off of the medication.
It's terrible.
It was, and there was something where he was off of the medication before he flew out to Fiji, but then it seemed
withdrawal
like there
symptoms.
Was some kind of, yeah, there was, it has something to do with dehydration and stuff
awful.
Like that. And so they had to pull him like day,
that's terrible.
Like kind of like day two. It was really early on. So if they had like kind of found out earlier, they probably would have used an alternate for that, but he didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. Why would you?
Yeah. He didn't tell anybody.
That's awful.
But do you have any other thoughts about this episode that we didn't talk about, or about any ideas? Like who are you like rooting for this season moving forward?
Who, forgive me, on Red, on Uli, the older gentleman.
Oh, Nate.
I'm a big fan of Nate.
Yeah, Nate's great.
Like Nate, I'm 30 years old and most of the slang is falling off of me. I didn't know.
Not cinema?
Is that just a Riz thing or is that a thing?
No, that's a thing. Cinema is like really good. It's cinema.
Stop. I mean, I know like on TikTok, you go into comments sometimes and you'll see like a Martin Scorsese meme where you're like, this is cinema. Like,
yeah,
that, I've seen that.
I've never heard, I'm not going to lie. I've never heard it like
out loud.
In the wild.
Yeah, like just out of people's
all
mouth.
Of the other things that they were saying, I do sometimes.
I mean, vibes,
say,
I'm aware
vibes,
of.
Fire.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. Cinema.
Cinema feels like a reach.
Cinema. I can't even say it.
Kirsten Cinema.
Yeah, that was very funny. I've just never heard it said out loud before.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously playing it up in the edit a little bit, but like, I like that Nate is, you know, he's connecting with the youngins, and
so
he seems like a pretty steady guy. I'm a big fan of that guy.
I like Nate too.
The scene with the crab kind of cracked me up, where they're like, "Hey, can we pray over bless this crab?"
And that was a huge crab.
I just love the moment where the crab's in the pot, they're all holding hands around the crab, and it looks like the crab is about to get away. The crab is climbing out of the pot. Like, bless this crab for, we're about to, you know, take its life essence and may it nourish us. And like, the crab is climbing
the crab,
out of the pot.
The crab is the crab like, keep on praying as long as you the crab possibly has can. I'm the almost premises. Out of here.
That absolutely killed me. That really got me. All the Pearl Island callbacks are interesting. Of all the things to reference, that's quite the callback, the shoe bandit
shoe
thing.
Shoe bandit.
What was that? Jake goes, you know what happens when you mess with the shoe bandit? And he says something like, you're out of here, whatever. And I'm like, well, you lose your shoes.
You lose your shoe.
Well, you know what happens when you mess with the shoe bandit? You see, you lose your shoes, you see. And I'm like, what, is there anything? So I'm enjoying that.
Yeah, it's weird to have a shoe bandit on a season where the theme is pirates.
Yeah, and then like they reference it in the intro, season episode one. It says someone says it's where their journey started with the show. Like, it's apparently a prevalent. I wonder how much of that we're gonna get.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, Sandra obviously shows up every now and then just cause, but like,
is Sandra gonna?
Are we getting a Rupert cameo? Is he back?
Oh my god.
You know, I don't know. What else is here? Alex lying about the idol. Oh, does everyone have to hug Jeff now on the way out? Has this happened before and I just missed it?
A lot of people do hug Jeff.
Really? At the thing now?
A lot of people hug
Jeff.
Don't
hug Jeff. He's going to get sick, guys. I wasn't allowed to shake Rob Lowe's hand. We didn't want to get him sick.
He's going to get sick.
Yeah, everyone, Jeff,
a lot of people. I don't think anyone kisses him anymore. It's just hugging.
Don't kiss the host. Guys, you're being weird. You're being weird. I think that's everything
One thing I wanted to say, I loved this theme song. This is the first time we heard it. I like that it's very piratey.
Yeah.
I like that it's slightly. I feel like the ones previously were just like the theme song and not really much changed.
Right.
This one, I was like, whoa.
You heard the difference.
And I like it a lot.
Yeah, man. I was that weirdo in college, like when I was like 19 and I was like dreaming about being on the show. I'd like watch the intros and I'd just be like, well, I love all the little nuances and the changes to the theme.
You got a theme, right? When did they stop? They stopped.
Ghost Town, they basically were just like, what if we make it spookier? That's pretty much all it was.
So
but they
spooky.
Were, those first couple years, though, there were some really like,
oh, yeah.
I remember like Vanuatu was like huge.
Yeah.
Like that whole intro sequence was nuts.
The one that I never really liked, but I know is very cool. I never liked All Stars because it didn't fall on my ears properly. But All Stars was all of the theme songs combined up until that point.
I can't play it in my head right now
because it's not a good song.
It doesn't fit.
But it's a very cool idea. But it just always sounds like hitting pots and pans to me.
It doesn't
sound very good.
It didn't sound coherent. That makes sense. Yeah,
but I still liked the idea. I thought it was very clever.
I'm glad they're still doing intros. I'm glad we still have that. I know there were a couple years where they were just like, nope, sorry guys.
41 through 44 were just kind of screwed in so many
that
ways.
Sucks.
Yeah, because they didn't get intros. They were fan-made intros that were good, but like they didn't get like any kind of intros. They got really bad twists. They kind of got growing pains. Yeah, it was really bad. I feel really bad for them.
No. I remember I was sitting with Lyrsa in a bar in Boston. Maybe a year or two after.
That's cool as hell, first of all.
Years ago. And we were talking, it was pre-40. We were talking about how we felt like 40 might be the end of the show.
Mm.
Because at that point, like Ghost Island felt like a look back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, David Goliath was like this big, like one of these big last themes they could think of.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like we were winding up to maybe one big all-star season at the end here. And with the domination of streaming and like, we were like, you know, maybe this is Survivor starting to wane a little bit. And then when the pandemic happens, there's this huge resurgence of interest, and you know, we go for another, God knows, we'll go forever. Who knows? But I remember thinking, like, you know, this is the moment where it's going to wind down. It sounds like maybe they thought that too. If they were trying all these weird twists that weren't working, and like taking out the intro sequence, and like taking out the things that made it Survivor.
Yeah, they took out the next time on or the previously on Survivor, and they took out the intro sequence
so they could fit more show.
Yeah,
they
could fit more show, and then they expanded to 90 minutes, and then we got it all back.
That's right, the 90 minute thing. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm sure a lot of it's just logistical, but I think about that period. I feel like it really did feel like it might be the end.
Yeah. And that was a really weird thing because 41 was so, I actually don't think it's as bad of a season as a lot of people give it credit for because, or sure. like say,
yeah.
because like everyone's just like, no one's, who really, I still haven't gone back and watched it yet.
Yeah.
And I think that what happened was they were all stir crazy, all the producers, and they were like, during pandemic, they had like a big journal.
Yeah.
That was like this big
whiteboard
of just ideas, like a crazy, what's that whiteboard from Always Sunny? Like a crazy whiteboard.
The newspaper clippings. Yeah. And
just like all of these ideas, and they're just kind of going crazy. Yeah. And then they're just kind, I tried everything and like two things worked and the rest of it was trash.
Yeah, well that's what's hard about making competition shows, you know. Survivor was one of the first of its kind, if not the first of its kind, at least in the US. You know, it's to keep not necessarily improving but altering and changing and keeping something interesting that at its core is so simple. That's the thing. And so I worked in casting and development for a couple of years for reality shows, and like I would come across concepts that were so either gimmick focused or convoluted, and they missed the point. The reason Survivor still works is because at its core it's very simple.
Yeah.
At its core, it's you give a bunch of people a decent amount of agency. They have to compete in challenges. If they win, they stick around. If they lose, they vote one of themselves out. That continues until the end when the bunch of the people, their jury of their peers, decides who wins.
Right.
And you can throw as much crap in there as you want to change it up and keep it interesting, but you have to keep those core elements to keep it the game that it is.
Right.
And to keep it interesting and to let it be story driven and human driven. Like when you start, you know, changing things too much of the fabric of the show and the fabric of the game, you're making the mistake that a lot of these other shows make, where I think of the over gimmicked, like Spy Games or some of these short lived competition shows that didn't.
I want to marry Harry.
Is that the old one or the new one?
It was.
There's a new one with a different Harry.
There's a new one.
Different Harry.
No, I didn't know that there was a new one.
There's a new one. I think it's called like Let's Marry Harry.
Oh my God. I Want to Marry Harry is
the prince, right?
They thought,
or fake prince.
They all thought this was, there was somebody, a royal.
Yeah.
They didn't know who it was. They got a Harry lookalike.
That's hilarious.
And, then halfway through, they didn't outright lie that it was Harry until like halfway through. And then they outright was like, yeah, this is Prince Harry. And at the end, crazy.
This is brutal.
And then at the end of it, he like finds his like the woman, and then he has to be like, hey, so I'm not actually Prince Harry.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It was crazy. So that didn't last long. Shocker.
All this to say, like, you have, the reason Survivor works is because it's simple.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff, it can keep it interesting, but when you start going through that binder, anything that takes away from the simplicity is going to reduce the quality of the game. That's why Hidden Immunity Idols were good, because they don't take away, like, they add a little thing. Mm-hmm. That you can get, and as interesting.
But God idols are bad.
What was that?
But like a God idol is not great.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you kind of have, it's still the same thing where everyone is still, it's not, you're not safe. You're not guaranteed safety.
Yeah.
So everyone's still, but you kind of, they take it too far, and they had to pull it back a little bit.
And I can appreciate the whole shot in the dark thing, but now, you know, thinking through it, as you talked about it, I find myself thinking, I think this alters the fabric a little too much. The idea that there's a chance that none of this matters, actually you're safe. Like that's, you know, it's it's the reason, it's actually the reason that it both works and doesn't work with like the Traitors or something, where like the Traitors works because it is so simple and so easy to follow. It also doesn't work because the game's broken, but like
the Traitors,
it's completely broken, but the point is, like, it works because this is the game,
right?
This is how the game works, and everything else just needs to adorn the game, not alter it too hard.
Yeah. I would recommend, I know you didn't watch a lot of, I would recommend going back to last season, season 48,
yep,
and watching episode 3.
Okay.
Because it is the longest tribal council of all time, literally.
On film?
No, you don't see the whole thing. It's a 6-hour or 4-hour tribal
council.
What
could they have been doing for 4 hours?
I'll just tell you. You should watch it. It's crazy. Yeah, sure. So a shot in the dark. It's a disaster tribe. They're down to 4 people. And the one person that everybody wants out plays their shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. So 3 votes. Is it 3? Maybe it's 3 people. No, it's 4 people. And she's safe. So hit safe.
Okay.
And so basically they
3 votes go nowhere.
Oh, 3 votes go nowhere. So they have to revote, but they can't, because basically because Justin didn't have a vote. Because that was when he lost his
journey.
Two people can't vote.
One of them safe.
Correct.
Okay.
And so there are only 2 eligible to vote. So these 2 people basically have to decide who goes home. And Cedric is the deciding person, where he is like, I don't want to send. It was between Say and Just or Yeah, I think it was between Say and Justin. Cedric was like deciding between these two.
And it takes him four hours.
It takes him forever. Yeah, it's crazy.
It didn't take Laurel 4 hours to pick the winner of season 36.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was very, very crazy. It was a hard fought battle.
And that's brutal.
It was brutal.
That's why they took that away, man. See, with the final three thing, that's why they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It was, yeah, so absolutely brutal. So, ultimately, he sends home the purse. So Justin lied, saying that he had a vote. He didn't have a vote. And that's ultimately who gets sent home. But yeah, it was because the shot in the dark hits, which is a 1 in 6 shot, plus the fact that he went on a journey and in a game of chance lost his vote.
That's a lot of chance.
Yeah.
A lot of chance to be going on.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. Well, this was so much fun talking about this episode and, you know, a little bit of preview for episode 3.
Yeah, man.
I like to finish my shows with I came up with this award. It's called the Alley-Oop.
Yes.
Kind of a sports reference for somebody who doesn't watch any sports. Weird for me.
Basketball.
But basically the Alley-Oop award is who we think sets themselves up the best for the next episode. It could be on anybody on any tribe. But who you just think played a good game and you feel like they are set up well.
I want to shout out the person I think that made the most distance.
Okay.
Right. So not necessarily someone who was like doing good and they're still doing good. Someone who I think was starting not so great and is in a better position than they started. I think Juwan.
Okay.
I think he improved his standing. I think in a situation that it feels like anytime these kinds of things happen, everyone's going to be mad and there's nothing you can do about it, or it's going to be used against you somehow. Like, I feel like he did the exact right thing. I think the edit portrays him as having done the exact right thing. I think we hear from other players that he did the exact right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think he proved that he can hold his own even against challenge beasts.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot because I think that there are some people, I listened to some other podcasts, people like were hating on his choice. And I think that it was the right choice.
I think I mean, I'm not there. I can't say exactly, but based on what the edit tells me, he made the right call.
Yeah.
And he started this episode in a really bad spot. And if Uli were to go to tribal next episode somehow, I don't think he'd be voted out where I think he might have been this episode.
Yeah. I also want to shout out the other person I was thinking about for this, because I didn't think of Juwan, but I think that that's a really good pull.
Yeah.
I think that MC also set herself up pretty well because I think that she has the option to go with the four. But I also think the fact that I think that it'd be a bad decision for Sophie to run to the other people and say, hey, why are you saying this? But I think that now Sophie trusts MC a little bit more. So I think she has two avenues where she can go down and say she finds an idol or say she, you know, does, I don't know, whatever. I think that there is momentum to get somebody out. Let's just say Matt. And I think also, I just want to point this out. When she was telling Sophie, she said, Matt pulled me aside and said that there was a three and they want me to be the fourth. Now, the person who threw out Sophie's name was not Matt. It was Christina. But she didn't say Christina threw out your name.
Sure.
She said somebody threw out your name. And so I think that the way she said it also is putting this idea that Matt is the mastermind behind everything in Sophie's mind.
Yeah.
And I really think that because Matt did not word this like, I want to work with you in the right way, he could be the next one. But I think MC is really positioning herself pretty well because of the way she handled that.
Yeah. It's hard to find a middle ground in a small tribe. So if she's able to do that, that's very impressive.
Yeah. I think that, you know, some people are down on the season. I think it's going to be exciting.
People are down. We just started.
That's the thing.
What? Hold on.
Look at me.
Hold on.
You're crazy.
Hold on.
We're two episodes in.
Wait a second.
Why?
We just started.
Grow up.
Grow up.
Literally. Come on.
It's only 3 hours of television. How are you going to know what's going to happen
this
in the next
season,
20 hours of television?
At the bottom of all of my TikTok videos, Survivor fans take a stand after the premiere of season 49 or something. It was like, Survivor fans take a stand on how bad it is. I was like, what is going on?
Mean?
We just met these people.
I mean, there's too many puzzle blocks, but like
that's true.
That's all that. I mean,
that's true.
I liked how Riz jumped on that net. That was fun. Like,
oh my god!
You know what I mean? Like,
I'm shocked nobody got a concussion. Let me tell you.
They said that was a new thing.
That the way I think they've had it where it's angled, but the way they did this, I think was new.
Okay, I was like, it's rare for them to be like, check out this new challenge.
But they've done it. Now it's like this.
Now it's horizontal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So longitude. It's new.
It's new.
All right.
Well, Jacob, where can I know that you're on the floor. Where can people watch that?
I'm on the floor. It's on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. Wednesdays at 8 o'clock, which you're definitely going to watch live. People watching this podcast. It's on Fox, but you can watch The Next Day on Hulu. I won't judge you. It's okay. You should watch it. It's fun. It's in an air-conditioned studio, Jeff. Not in the Fijian heat. It's a blast. We had a lot of fun making it. Met a lot of really cool people. It's a game for babies. Is that what I say? It's you look at the picture and you say what's in the picture. But it's really fun. And a lot of people on our season took it pretty seriously. And like,
Johnny Fairplay was on.
Fairplay's on it. Fairplay's on there. You got Matt from The Circle on there. You got a MasterChef winner. You got a bunch of fun. Bo Bice from American Idol.
I thought he said American Iron.
American Iron.
And I was like, they have had like a blacksmith making thing.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Knife fight.
It's something like that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, interesting. I swear I've heard that name, but I don't think I've heard the name from American Iron.
Iron. Yeah, no, but the great Bo Bice, who's a sweetheart. And Bo Peoples, he's a comedian. He's on Instagram, Suburban Prince, got like 11 million followers, whatever. You've probably seen him. He's on there. We got a really fun cast, met a lot of really cool people. And everything, you know, we're up 2 episodes in. I'm still there, which is big for me. So, like, you know, give it a look. And I'm on all the platforms as Jacob Durow, and the branding is consistent. Trying to post about it. I'm trying to have fun with it.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun having fun.
Yeah. But more importantly, if you're a musical theater person, my wife is touring in the first national tour of Hell's Kitchen, the Alicia Keys musical. So if you like musical theater, go watch my wife. She'll be in a city near you sometime in the next year. Go watch Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. And touring companies are always amazing. So
dude,
you got to go.
First national Broadway tour, dude. This is a
huge
bunch of rock stars. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Are you going to continue watching this season? How are you
doing? I'll try. I'll be around. I'll try to stay engaged. I'm here, you know, may as well give it a fair shake.
Great.
I'll do my best.
Amazing. Yeah. And as always, you can find me here at Matt Chat every Monday or Tuesday, depending on schedules, as well as Avi the Specialist have a lot of fun things coming up. So make sure to go to our Instagram and other places for that. I will also be at the live RHAP event on Wednesday. They're coming to New York City. So if you are going to be there, I would love to see you. Please come say hi. I'm very excited to find out what is going to happen in episode 3 of Survivor. Were we right? Were we wrong? Who knows? But thank you guys so much for listening. And Jacob, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Very fun to be in
come
person.
By time. This is the little studio here, Technica House. This is where I work. So come by. Come record a podcast.
I just want to say, like, two of the comments I got last week was, the sound quality sucks. I'm never going to watch again if the sound quality. So you know what? You know what I said?
Stay tuned.
Fine.
There you go.
I'll give you the best sound quality you've ever heard in your entire friggin' life.
Good, this is a pretty good room, guys. Mark Hamill sat here once and recorded an interview. So
that's very cool.
It's good enough for Luke Skywalker. It's good enough for y'all, all right?
Well, thank you guys so much for watching, for chatting, and I will talk to you guys next week. Have a great day.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
One of us has to walk over
and click the button. We got to end the live. Oh, it's going to be Jacob. Thank you, guys. Bye. You got to click that. And no, you got to click it twice. All right.